Hello, and welcome to the Wide Open Air Exchange, coming to you from Gadigal Country. I'm Christine Gallagher. My guest today is musician and physician, Dr. Eki Schola, and this is Eki's music you're hearing right now. Eki is a medical doctor who had a vocational calling to making music after some major life events inspiring a creative run of music production and, now 5 albums deep on her musical journey. Eki Schola's latest album is called Ka Eru, a Japanese phrase meaning to return home. It was recorded in Japan with local musicians, and you can hear some of the traditional instruments on this track. Eki has Jamaican heritage and was born in London to Jamaican parents before the family migrated to the US when Eki was a child. So she's had that immigrant experience. She's lived in New York and is now currently based in San Francisco and has also found a home in Japan. We're getting philosophical on the Wide Open Air Exchange today, speaking about the concept of home, as well as a little later, some of the common themes of the Wide Open Air Exchange about vocational identity, the origins of our vocational interests, how Eki got interested in being a medical doctor, and what inspired her turn to making music. I connected with Eki Schola via a video call between Sydney and San Francisco.
Hi. How are you?
This is so good. It still amazes me, the wonders of technology that is connecting.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's like Ka Eru. Ka Eru is
Ka-eru.
The name of the album.
Yeah, that's yeah. good. Yes, Ka Eru. Yeah, it's great.
There's sort of a hint in the name there being a Japanese phrase. Where does Japan fit in for you and this album and the concept of this album?
Certainly.
Yeah.
So I went to Japan for the first time 20 years ago as a medical student, and I was doing an exchange program there. And when I got back home to, this is New York now at that time, I cried. I didn't want to leave. And I've traveled a bit, and that was the first time that had happened. And I felt such a connection. And I remember at that time, this is 20 plus years ago, I said, one day I have to come back and live here. I don't know how I'll make it work, but part time I'd love to live here. And so fast forward to when the borders reopened in Japan, October 2022, my medical work asked me if I wanted to go to Japan. This is October. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, you bet. So I went. And what I did, I also connected with some local artists and venue owners while I was there. So during the day I'd work, evenings I would explore the music community. And I wasn't even thinking of recording at that point, but it was sort of the synchronous events that were happening. And I met with one venue owner. I played at his place and he said, I have a friend who would like her music. So he introduced me to someone else. Mm-hmm. That person had a recording studio that used to be, the building used to be an old hospital. So I was like, I have to go. Like, that's a sign.
Yeah.
Old hospital recording studio.
Having your medical background and being, and then having a hospital that's a recording studio.
There's
the universe is telling you something there.
Totally. Yeah. And what I thought I had in mind to record was different than what happened. So I had some, concept beforehand. But when I went, I felt so at peace. I remember one time I was walking and I felt like I was floating. And I'm like, what's wrong? Am I lightheaded? Am I going to pass out? This is just weird. I said, no, it's like there's no stress. And I remember just feeling so much at peace. And each time I go, I feel that. And so that was starting to inform the music and the way I was writing. To the point where I actually got rid of the songs that I thought I was going to record and wrote new songs while I was there.
I'm falling, Life is short, remember like I told ya, don't care no more, don't care no more. I'm getting older, getting stronger, don't care no more, don't care no more.
Eki Schola is our guest on the Wide Open Air Exchange, sharing her experience of finding a strong connection in Japan, which inspired her album Kaeru.
I've been going to Japan pretty much every month. And so each time that I go, I just feel that much more connected. What's most, I guess, poignant for me is that I was born in London and I moved to New York as a kid in 87. And since then, I never really felt like I knew where home was. And I, even though I lived in New York and other states, none of them really kind of felt tangibly like home. And that was even more amplified when we lost our home in the 2017 wildfires.
Right. So in California.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow, that's huge, huge.
It's huge,
that's,
yeah,
it is. All your worldly possessions.
Everything. Yeah. And also the clinic I was working at also burned down.
Wow.
So that was I was out of a job too. So I'm out of music, out of a home, and feeling ever more, you know, displaced. Mm. But as difficult as that period was, and it sounds kind of cliched, but it literally lit and sparked the courage to actually do music full time. And
because
so,
you literally have to start again. So what that looks like, I hope it's okay for me to say, because that's obviously a very tragic thing to happen. Like in that moment, you're losing your home, you're losing your business, you're starting again.
Yet,
I wonder whether it's also, I'm reluctant to use the wrong word here, so is there some kind of almost like a gift or a blessing in having to start again, because it in a way forces you to go, well, okay, if I'm going to start again, what's that going to look like? What choices am I going to make now? And might I pursue something else? Because this is literally a new beginning. It's not a turn or a change or a pivot. It's a new start.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I actually wrote a song called The Gift of Grief.
Oh, wow.
So you're exactly right. You're exactly right. So it was using that that momentum to really get me going and to really decide, okay, now is the time to really do music. But still, from 27 till, up until 2022, I was still just kind of feeling lost. Not even really feeling, to be honest, truly American, because I wasn't born in America. But the more time that I spent in Japan, the more I felt connected. And somebody said to me the other day, oh, you must feel such, so much like a foreigner when you're there. It's the opposite, complete opposite. And I've only felt welcomed there. And additionally, when I'm there, I also feel that I can be my most authentic self. I'm not, carrying per se the burdens of being hypervigilant in the U.S., of carrying the burdens historically of how it is to be a Black person living in America. And so I didn't realize that I was even carrying all that on me until leaving America, going to Japan, and then coming back.
Thank you.
parents were Jamaican, or you had a Jamaican heritage, and that I also read they gave you a Nigerian name, and then you're raised in London, and then you migrated or emigrated to the US and New York, I guess.
What recording this album did for me in Japan, spending that time there, was to help me realize, yes, home is geographical in one sense, but also this home coming back to within and coming back to self.
Yeah.
Hence the name Kaeru, to return home.
Right.
And that was the sort of the motivating aspect behind the album.
I love it. And I was thinking about the concept of home. Home can be about place and it can be about roots, but
that's
it's more than that, because it's also internal and it's feelings of belonging, or feeling comfortable or feeling at ease is to feel at home. But it's also about people and relationships and connection. And so it sounds like the type of home that you have found in Japan is those latter kinds, the internal feelings and the connections that you've made.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's been really magical. It really has been a very special journey.
Where's my home? Searching all over the globe.
Listening to the Wide Open Air Exchange. Our guest is musician Eki Schola. Eki is a musician and physician. She's a medical doctor and, through her music, identifies as a musical healer. Are you a qualified physician, a doctor? Was it Cornell that you did your training, or was that another part of your academic studies?
I went to Cornell undergraduate. Cornell University undergrad for undergraduate studies, and then I went to Mount Sinai School of Medicine, which is in New York City.
Wow.
And I'm still practicing internal medicine, but the cool thing is I get to do it my way.
Yeah.
So I always wanted to figure out, how can I, merge my three passions, music, medicine, and travel? And so bit by bit, different experiences started happening, and so I'm now thankful to be able to travel for work. So I travel overseas to do medicine.
Oh, so you are still practicing in primary care. Oh, amazing.
Oh, but I've been practicing since 2010.
Yes. And so the work that you're now traveling to do, I'm sorry I interrupted, what kind of medicine are you practicing when you travel?
So still internal medicine, but I work with our veterans. And so we have bases all around the world.
Yeah.
So essentially it's diagnosing. I also do expert medical opinions. I'm no longer doing traditional primary care where there's continuity of care, but these sort of a one-time visits with our veterans. And I love it. I love working with them.
And so then bringing us into the idea of being a musical healer, because obviously with medicine there's medical science, and I imagine that is a lot of that is in the physical, but the word healer, it doesn't have to be medical, it doesn't have to be scientific. Healing can be spiritual healing. You could be a religious minister and be a healer. And so I wonder if, when you use the term musical healer, what do you mean by that?
Well, the whole reason why I pivoted into music, I had not planned that out at all. That was not the trajectory that I had ever thought. I always wanted to be a doctor, and that was it. But after dealing with my mom's death from cancer, I just started to play music. And before I had, I've started piano at a young age, but it's different this time. I was playing for myself. I was playing for my own sanity to get through the depths of grief. And that was what pulled me through. We know music is healing. The science is there. I mean,
Yes.
in the UK, you can prescribe music in the arts
Of course, and I
now.
apologize for separating the two because we know, there is a lot of there's evidence for art therapy and music therapy, and I know that
Sure.
it is used in medical settings. So I
Right.
certainly didn't mean to suggest that they're
Oh, not
exclusive
at all.
of each other.
And we know you listen to your favorite song. How do you feel? You're uplifted, you're inspired, you're jubilant. It's healing. And so, when I wrote my first album, it was selfish. It was for my own healing. Then I said, well, maybe I'll release it and it will help someone else. And that's kind of how it all started.
Through our creations, we define reality, lifting those around us into higher spirituality, vibrating, elevating a collective mentality. Rhymes, murals, songs, performance, and poetry. Designing our own sustainability is a necessity. We birth a space that nurtures inclusivity, mutuality, and community. We show the world how it can be. We show the world how it can be. Show the world how it can be.
One of the other sort of common themes on this program is we often think about early influences or the origins of a person's vocational pursuits or identity. And it's sort of a little bit of a nature nurture question in a way, which is, and usually the answer is a bit of both, as it almost always is. But I had read that, and I can't remember the exact phrasing, but that you had grown up in a family of healers and musicians. So I was intrigued by that, and that suggests the sort of environmental or the nurture. And maybe if we could start with that, but in what ways were other members of your family both healers and or musicians?
Well, my parents were both social workers.
Oh,
So, my father worked within the foster care system. My mother worked at the time when deinstitutionalization of patients and transitioning them back into the communities was happening.
yeah, so the
So,
closure of
psychiatric
psychiatric
hospitals.
hospitals. Yeah, we had something
That's right.
similar here in Australia.
Yes. And so, if you will, kind of our family is extended that way because I remember, like in London on the weekends, we'd go to the group homes that my dad would be working at. We'd spend the weekends there. And so we got to know the youth. And even my mom, in the situations that she had, they had a lot of community events and we would be engaged with them and the clients there. So that was always around us. And our parents were also musicians. So they actually first started in music and then. When they decided to have a family, they needed money and went into social work. But so the two are very much intertwined.
When you have that obvious kind of influence, is it possible to then
Yes.
also separate what might be intrinsic qualities? I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Because you don't, how would you know if it was sort of like genetic or like a hereditary or something that is, I mean, it's a tricky one. Have you thought about it? Like whether some of what you do is characteristic of you? Or compare versus, those kind of early family influences? There may not be an answer, and it's okay if there isn't, I suppose. It's just a question that interests me and intrigues me a lot.
I mean, all I knew, I wanted to be a doctor since I was five. Right. And that was really from the first hospitalization. I had asthma at the time. They didn't know what it was. Yeah. And all I can remember was, you know, back then the hospitals had open wards. So our beds, children's beds, were lined up. And then the doctors would come in and round on everyone. Yeah. And I just have this memory of just watching these doctors in awe coming to each of us. And it was such a, it was a very enjoyable, it's weird, like hospitalization experience. Yeah. But that really stuck out with me. And that was all that I knew that I wanted to be.
Dr. Eki Scholer is our guest on the Wide Open Air Exchange. Eki is a musician and physician, and we're discussing the origins of her vocational interests and hearing some of her music as well.
Do we exist in multiple states? Our future in destruction, the past away. Maybe our thoughts are implanted, so then take your freedom for granted. Ooh, what is reality? I'm thinking about our humanity, yeah. Only community and fam, mother self.
That's Eki Scholer, a musician and physician who was inspired to become a medical doctor during a hospital stay as a child, and inspired to become a professional musician after losing her home in the 2017 California wildfires, along with the medical clinic where she worked. It sounds like you've been someone who's been able to see the value in difficult experiences. If your hospitalization as a child inspired you to get into medicine, right. Losing your home and losing the clinic and losing your mum, you know, were things that inspired you to create music, to make music. Is there something to be said about how, you know, that there's maybe that is an intrinsic quality of yours in the way that you respond to difficult things happening?
Right.
Maybe is there some quality of making the best of doing what you can out of adversity, maybe? I mean, I'm not trying to be a psychologist here. I'm sorry.
It's so there were two pivotal things. Because when my mom passed, 6 months she had cancer.
Gosh, and that's fast, isn't it? That's really
fast. Exactly. Yeah. It was very fast. And I remember just being numb. Mm. And I tried everything. Hypnotherapy, grief therapy. I put myself on antidepressants. Mm. I just wanted to numb it. And I was at a low, and I couldn't see myself out of it.
Wow.
And so intrinsically, I didn't have anything to pull out of that. Mm. But I'll never forget, I was driving home from work, and on NPR, there was an interview with a physician who worked with patients who had PTSD. And he said there was nothing he could say or nothing he could prescribe that could get his patients sort of out of it or move to be able to move through the PTSD. But when they realized they had a choice, that they could pass through that and move through it and work through it, that's when they saw results. And I said to myself, I have a choice in this whole grief.
Yes.
And that was the key. And after that, things really kind of flipped around. And I did all the trainings and workshops and worked with a bereavement therapist and started writing. So drawing other, you know, community resources to help me get through. What really helped me also was I was invited to be part of a mindfulness program. And in that program, we were taught strategies of to cope with grief, but also to build resiliency. And so if you're struggling, anyone is struggling, there are resources out there, community-based, online, that can help. And those tools, we still have wildfires here regularly. And so those tools I've really been able to draw upon. And I wasn't privy to those before. Those were not some of these inherent things. So there is help out there. And I want to emphasize that.
It's so important. Thank you. I know, you know, it's that answer about, you know, realizing you have a choice. And that also, that the word that comes to mind there is hope. Because when you don't have have hope, there's a kind of existential dread. But when you have hope, there's sort of a sense of agency, you know, that you have choice and that there's meaning. And it's interestingly, I only recently read what is the name of the book? It's the book that led to Logotherapy by the psychiatrist who had written about his experience in a Nazi camp in World War II, and he was in Auschwitz, and he wrote this book about his experience. It's called Man's Search for Meaning, and most of the book is about the description of the experience, which is the worst that you could, you know, that it's hard to imagine much worse. And he, out of that, or during that time, or even prior to that, he had been developing this theory of psychology or psychiatry, which was around meaning and about finding meaning in life. And if you can, if an individual can find their meaning, that will change the way they think about everything. And if you can shift into that kind of positive mindset meaning and of giving, like your life will have meaning, hope and optimism. Right. And love, I think, you know, universal love.
That's right. Yes, of course.
For me, what keeps me hopeful.
That's right. Yeah. Well, my mother's name was Hope.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I have shivers.
Yeah. Everything you're saying resonates.
That is so special.
I'm not afraid to hope for the love I desire. Not afraid to hope that most care. When it hurts to believe, close your eyes and just dream. And not afraid to hope that love will win. Not afraid to hope the good overrules. Scared to feel the pain, scared enough feel it all. Not afraid to hope that love will win. Not afraid to hope the good overrules. Scared to feel the pain, scared enough feel it all. Not afraid to hope that action by one creates meaningful change that can never be undone. Not afraid to hope that we escape self-annihilation. Better yet, come together to heal the nation. And not afraid to hope the love will win. Not afraid to hope the good of the rules. Scared to feel the pain, scared enough to feel it all. Not afraid to hope the love will win. Not afraid to hope the good of the rules. Scared to feel the pain, scared enough to feel it all.
That's Not Afraid to Hope, track from the album Kaeru by Eki Shola. It was composed and independently produced, mixed and mastered by Eki Shola. And Eki performs the vocals, cello, keyboard, piano, synth bass and electronics alongside three Japanese musicians playing drums, Mongolian morinku, shamisen and shakuhachi, traditional instruments. I'm Christine Gallagher. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did, getting deep and philosophical here on the Wide Open Air Exchange. And we'll finish as we started with Eki's track For You. And you can find Eki's music at ekishola.com and on Bandcamp.